I think when you start looking at the Cavs and you look at how the Raptors are better than they were a year ago in that Eastern Conference final, which they lost in six games and were blown out in the four losses, really all of the four losses they were blown out. But I think DeMar, I think, is a little bit better. You saw him even in that series last year have some pretty decent numbers by the end of it. But one thing that the Raptors are going to need more than they did against the Bucks is more offense. And Kyle Lowry, I think he averaged about 14 points in this first round series. And, he did bring a lot of the other stuff that he always kind of brings as Kyle Lowry, the engine of the Raptors. But if the Raptors are going to be successful, I think it has to start with Kyle Lowry at least getting a little bit more offense going, Dave.
Yeah, it was interesting in the fourth quarter of game six. If you looked at Lowry closely, he was getting rid of the ball really quickly. As soon as he'd get it, he'd dish it out again. He wasn't shooting as much. And he was throwing his body around defensively, but he looked shy with the ball offensively. And that's not Kyle Lowry at all. I know his back's been bothering him, and it's going to be interesting to see if that carries over into the next round. And you kind of hope he's spending this weekend doing absolutely nothing. Lying in bed.
Or do whatever you have to do to get your back in a good spot. That would make a lot of sense for Lowry. And, I Masai Ujiri, as much as anything else, the trades that he made and the way that this roster is constructed, it's to beat these Cavaliers, who have at times looked old. They've looked thin. They've not looked as good as they were even a year ago. And they've had to rely on LeBron James more so than ever. He played, I think, 44 minutes on average in that first round against Indiana. And they needed all of those minutes from LeBron. And you just wonder if this could be the year where the Raptors are just good enough to at least give Cleveland more of a run than they did even a year ago, Gare.
If it were the conference final, I'd feel better about it. You know, if there was just a few more miles on the Cavs rather than getting them in the second round, I think that's probably true. I wouldn't give up the ghost on LeBron being able to get out there for over 40 minutes a game against the Raptors and be able to wreak havoc. I fully expect that it's what you can do to the other four guys on the floor. And there's reason to have some hope if you're a Raptors fan that, you know, your team's better set up and the Cavs, you know, have enough erosion, enough wear and tear to give you hope. The guy that worries me is Deron Williams. He's always been a favorite player of mine.
Old man Deron?
Well, I always go for the old man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't explain why. But, they talk about Kyle Korver as an ad, and, yeah, he can make a shot. But Deron can make you a shot. And Deron is good at both ends. And I know that he hasn't been so good, or he wasn't very good at all during the regular season. But it sort of feels like he's getting it together here in the stretch.
If you want to talk about a reason for hope for Raptors fans, sorry, just to bring it back to LeBron for a second, Raptors fans should go on YouTube and type PJ Tucker, LeBron James. The first thing that comes up is a highlight reel of Tucker playing D on LeBron. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it's 4 years old, granted,
yeah,
back when LeBron was with Miami. But it at least gives you an idea that he's not afraid to be physical with LeBron and get in his face.
Well, PJ Tucker is kind of what Damari Carroll was supposed to be, right? That guy who can defend LeBron James. And I don't think it's going to be Damari Carroll very much in this series against Cleveland. Damari, I mean, he had a couple of moments against Milwaukee here in this first round, but in the overall, he has not brought anywhere near the value that the Raptors hoped he would. And that's why PJ Tucker's here, because they want a guy who can defend one-on-one with LeBron and are going to give LeBron a lot of different looks as best they possibly can. Damari will get his chance, and I'm sure Norm Powell will do a little bit of defending on LeBron as well. That's part of what we like about this Raptor team, is that they can throw so many different looks at teams. And that's one thing that I imagine we'll see against LeBron, is a lot of different looks and a lot of different things, and whatever works best is what Casey's going to go with most often.
Yeah, you talk about throwing a lot of bodies out there, though, and the depth that they have. The one place that I really feel they don't have depth is who's standing behind Kyle Lowry at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like that is, and he's definitely not right when you're talking about his back and whatnot. Like, you know, since he went out after the All-Star break, like, I don't know that he's really come back, you know, the guy that we know. And, yeah, the Raptors can throw bodies at you at four spots, but behind Lowry, you know, it's the void.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think there's a lot of different matchup questions here that are intriguing. You wonder if Jonas Valanciunas will draw back into the starting five. I imagine that may happen with Tristan Thompson being a focal point for the Raptors and maybe a matchup that they can exploit or try to exploit. But the big thing, too, with the Raptors, when you compare them to last year and the loss in the Eastern Conference Final, like they were a black hole at the four position last year. And now they have Serge Ibaka, who was brought in at the trade deadline from the Orlando Magic. And he has certainly been a blessing because this team, even early on this year, last year was Luis Scola. Now this year it was Pascal Siakam. And all due respect to the young forward, he just wasn't ready for the big time. And now the Raptors have a real player there, a guy who can be somewhat of a difference maker. And he may be the third of the Raptors' big three, but he certainly helps in a lot of different facets for this team and may be a reason why the Raptors are a little bit closer to Cleveland than they were last year.
Yeah, I think that it's been, I don't want to say that it's been spotty, but I always feel with Ibaka, it was such a heralded ad when he came in, and you know, his stats line is really solid, you know.
Yeah.
14 and 7, and you know, he's shooting 40% from three. To me, it was Chinese food, right? Like, I always, at the end of the game, I was still hungry for more. You know, saying that, just what he was able to provide was like such an upgrade. And it just feels, it certainly felt like in game six when, you know, they're you know, shuffling and yeah, putting him in at the five. I mean, it really looks like it has a chance, if they get by Cleveland, that this is a Masai's masterstroke, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, just checking out sportsnet.ca, Michael Grange does have a prediction of Raptors in seven. So he is getting pretty bold out there with that one. First team that would beat LeBron in the Eastern Conference in the last 6 years. So
if he was going to be bold, he'd say Raptors in four.
Not quite that bold, no, but Raptors in seven for Michael Grange. And yeah, just picking out a stat from there. In regards to the four position last year for the Raptors, they got in the conference final 3.5 points, 1 rebound, 1.5 assists, and 0 block shots a game from the starting four position.
Yeah.
Like that's basically a black hole. You're playing with four men against five almost in that sense. And that's how it was against Cleveland last year. And a big part of the reason why the Raptors got blown out. And I just think, getting back to Cleveland here and it always comes back to LeBron and how much he can carry the load. And he is the trump card. You know, as much as you want to look at all the different matchups, LeBron, when he's feeling it, and we saw it against Indiana to a certain extent in that game three where Cleveland was getting blown out 74-49 at halftime. And LeBron took them back and they won that game. And even in the fourth quarter, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love were benched by Tyronn Lue, and it was just LeBron and a bunch of shooters, which is a lineup that is very scary because it can work very, very well if those guys are hitting their shots, and they were that night. But, you know, I think when you look at the Cavs, it's LeBron and you don't know exactly what you're going to get from the other guys.
That goes back to Gare's point before, that you want to have LeBron have as much mileage as possible on him, right? This point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think LeBron, he can do a lot of things, but when Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving both had a negative net rating in the first round against the Indiana Pacers, I mean, that gives you a positive in that, well, the big three for Cleveland isn't necessarily playing like a big three right now. And we know that they can be exploited offensively, or by the defensively, I should say. And to me, it comes down a lot to, can the Raptors hit their three-pointers? Because that's something that they struggled with at times against Milwaukee, but when they had it going, they were doing pretty well. And they're going to have to score. They're not going to be able to hold Cleveland under 90 points in, I don't think, any game in this series. So you're going to have to be able to score against them, and hitting that three-point shot, whether it's from Tucker, whether it's Patterson, Carroll, Norm hit 9 of 9 in the first round. Like, that's not going to continue, but you have to hit at a decent clip when you get those open shots.
Yeah, as far as Cleveland's big three, I mean, you could have LeBron and two ushers is the big three. Yeah, there will have to be a certain pace that they're going to want to generate against the Cavs. And again, the more of a run that they get in, I think that favors them over an aging Cavs team. If the game's played at a crawl, that could be a little bit tougher to pull off.